Hi, everyone. My name is Sam Willens, your mother of Valkyries and your host of the Sword and the Ribbon podcast. Today is going to be inside jokes, giggles, and teasing as I interview my sister, Becca, on this episode. Becca has been my lovely assistant in Micro Squad videos for years. More importantly, she is the soothing, calm voice you hear in all of Valkyrie Squad mind-stealing audios. She's a fellow ACOTAR lover, designer, and book lover, and I am thrilled for you all to meet her outside of an audio or video recording. Hello, Becca.
Hi, sis.
You sound so thrilled to be here.
I am thrilled.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me in an audio setting.
A live kind of audio pre-recorded setting.
Yeah, but I'm not speaking softly.
Oh, there's the voice.
I almost waved too when you introduced me because I'm used to doing that in the workout videos. And I was like, nobody's going to see me.
No, this video is just for us. I'm sorry. Well, for those who don't know you, can you tell the listeners about yourselves, like what you would put in your character bio?
I have to think of this in a non-D&D reference because I'd put myself as a human bard and then I'd probably dump all of my stats in like charisma. So
I know nothing of D&D, but I feel like that's accurate.
Yeah, there'd be none in strength, maybe a few in constitution, but not strong. But I'm Becca. I'm also known as Rebecca by a few and Bex when there are no other Bexes present. But we're Becca today. I'm a seamstress and an artist. I'm stuck between two sisters, and one of which I had to share a womb with for 9 months. I hope you can figure that out. But I'd say I'm equal parts flamboyant, reserved, and sentimental if you were to throw me in a cauldron and make a brew. I am always team vampire. You can't convince me otherwise. Maybe there's only one author. Maybe. And I'm a bookworm. And so, yeah, that's thanks to you mostly, I think.
Yeah, actually, I think I got you into a lot of the books you read.
Yeah. I think I started out and you're like, ah, this child has potential. Or this sister has potential. Let me bequeath my books onto this sister. You know what? I don't know.
We tried. We love her, but she went a different path.
Yeah, she likes her. As she said, can I curse on this?
Yes.
Mindfuck books is what she calls them.
Can I curse on this? Have you met me?
I don't know. Maybe trying to reach a wider audience.
I think the only workout right now that I know of that I haven't sworn in is Pokemon.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So what made you get into design and costumes?
I kind of always liked drawing. I can't remember when I didn't. Like, I don't know if there was like a specific pinpoint in time that was like, yes, this inspired me. I think the closest thing I had was the Muppets.
Okay, you need to elaborate on that?
In the sense of like, I remember there's an episode of the Muppets. I talk about this a lot. Sure people around me that I work with are sick of it, but like Harry Belafonte was on and the last song he sang, they had they brought in Muppets that were inspired by a lot of African masks, and I thought that was so cool. And that actually got me into, I was like, oh, I'm interested in puppet making, but I don't need any more hobbies. But in college, I got to work on a show where I got to make a puppet. Mm-hmm. And I got to sew a lot of fabric on it, kind of a mix of hot glue, mixing props and fabricating. And I learned from that I don't want to make puppets, but I did enjoy working with fabric, so that helped gear me towards more of the costuming sides of things. But I did go through a phase in like elementary school, middle school, where I did want to be a writer or poet. That didn't really, I need to keep my hobbies and not make them all jobs, so that stayed as a hobby.
So you learned that it was hard to be the bard?
It is hard to be the bard, but also I always liked drawing like people and clothing, and I think making clothing for people I found far more satisfying than I did just drawing for people. So I've kind of moved over into making clothes and stuff.
Well, I told our podcast producers that you are making your wedding dress. So they said they want to hear all about it and the making of it.
Well, a lot of the people, I felt like I had to make it because of what I do. I was like, okay, like, I feel like I'd be cheating myself in my art if I just bought the whole thing. But a lot of the people that I've talked to that have made their own wedding dress always were like, oh, it was such hell. They were stressed out, blah, 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 blah. So I was like, okay, maybe I don't want to make all of it. And so I think there's a very specific top part of the dress that I wanted, and I couldn't find exactly what I wanted. So I was like, you know what? I'll make the top of the dress and I'll just buy the skirt. Because like for your wedding, you had purchased your top and from one place and bought the skirt from another. So I was like, oh, I'll just do that, but I'll make my top and then have my skirt. And then on top of that, I also decided to refabric my shoes with fabric that matches my top. So I have another layer of work going on with that too, that I decided to put on myself. So that's kind of cool. I won't say anything more about it because I want to wait for the wedding and then pictures, and then people will see that then. But that I finished it all back in February.
Yeah, you finished it all pretty fast. I was quite impressed.
Yeah, I know. I was, and mostly because I didn't want to stress out about it, which is good because I ended up actually going back and changing some little things about it, like last week.
Of course you did.
Yeah, but it's all done, so I don't have to stress about that now. And now I just have to worry about the groom stuff.
Well, I'm sure everyone will see on my personal Instagram your dress on your wedding day.
Yeah.
Well, and you are getting married in autumn.
Yep, because I wanted to be the High Lady of Autumn.
Well, that segues me perfectly into the next question. What's your favorite fandom?
I'll say that the one that I've been more active and been participating in more is probably the ACOTAR fandom. It's been a long time since I really considered myself a part of a fandom, so I'll just say ACOTAR.
But I feel like you're a part of a lot of fandoms, or you dabble in a lot.
Yeah, because my obsession changes. I go through, I don't want to say eras, because that's, I want phases. I've got phases of obsessions that I go through that my fiance has graphed.
Graphed?
Not graphed, actually, but like there's a time, and he's like, some of them pop up back again. Like my Castlevania obsession will pop up back again probably in the next couple of months. So that's just the cycle it goes in.
Yes, that's true. I guess it comes back around. For as long as I've known you, as long as you've been alive.
Yeah, and then some will phase out.
Yep. Well, what is your favorite game to play?
I'll say Dungeons & Dragons, because that's the one that I have on a consistent schedule. Twice a month, I play. I used to play a lot of video games, not so much anymore. For anyone who's into JRPGs out there, I've been replaying Fire Emblem Three Houses, the Golden Deer route, because I started with Blue Lions, and now I'm doing Golden Deer.
Well, and we have our sister game night.
Oh yeah,
it's just Stardew Valley and we just shoot the breeze half the time.
Yeah, I was obsessed with Stardew Valley maybe like 3 years ago. And now it's a cozy game for us to easily play together.
Well, it was fun because I, as many people know on the podcast, that I'm very new to gaming, and your annoyance with Alina and I when we started playing Stardew Valley, and I didn't know how to use the controls, and I didn't know what I was doing.
And you wanted to skip the cutscenes, you didn't want to talk to anybody, the people are...
Why? I just want to go do the things.
Yeah, but like, you want to create relationships with the townspeople. Maybe find someone to start dating in the town.
No, I want to go to the mines.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll make you an omelet. And you can go so you don't die. And you'll waste the hard-earned money we've worked for.
It is so funny how annoyed you were getting with Alina and I, though. Like, you're just...
It's gotten better now that the farm is more consistent.
Yes. We've gotten better, even though we've now interspersed fruits basket. Yeah. In between our game nights.
Yes. We're trying to get her into anime. You into anime.
Yes. Anyways, moving on. So I know you can do some accents, but I think some other people here may not know. Which is your favorite accent to do?
The Russian accent is my favorite accent. I'm sure for people who have seen the Black Widow workout. It's been a while. But... like, ooh, that's rusty. I also can't hear myself well with the headphones on. but Russian's usually my go-to. It's my comfort accent. But I'm not going to do Irish. I thought about it this morning about trying to do Irish because that one's one I've been working on. But because I also did the Ted Lasso workout, the Manchester accent keeps slipping in when I try and do the Irish accent. So I'm just not going to do it.
That's true. Yeah. So by the time this episode airs, the Ted Lasso workout will already be out. And you showed up acting like Jamie Tart. And it was fantastic. Any of you not done the workout, go do the workout. So to wrap up your like introductory, who is your favorite SJM character?
Lucien. And then followed closely by Gwyn. I like both the redheads.
You have a type.
Yes, I do.
You have a very distinct type.
I do.
So do I. So it's fine. I think we all do.
Yeah. I have done my research.
Yes. Well, we are going to get into more of the interview part. So we are going to start at the very beginning, which I heard is a very good place to start. So when was the first time I convinced you to help me work with a workout? I personally actually do not remember.
I wasn't sure if this... Were you talking about before Micro Squad?
Yeah, with Squad. Because you, when I was before Squad, you would just pop into random workouts. This is...
Oh, yeah. I wasn't really helping you then. It was just participating reluctantly. I guess I still kind of do. But with more enthusiasm. But I can't remember. Like, I know it was with when you had the microformer. But the only one I can remember was the Gaston one that we did. But I know we did ones before that, but I can't, that one's the only one I remember.
So when we started with the microformer, because I needed bodies on the machine, I think it was just more like, hey, do you want to come in and work out? And then I was like, I'm getting bored. I need themes. And I do know the Gaston one is definitely one of the first, maybe the Broadway themes. We did a sea shanty one and I surprised you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Maybe it was one of the music-themed ones and not the nerd or Disney-themed ones. That was one of the first. I started singing along, so I was like, oh, this one's my favorite. Like, oh, I love Rocky Road to Dublin.
Yeah, so I actually don't know, which came first. And I don't remember when we did Gaston, and it wasn't near.
Well, some would say the chicken, and others would say the egg.
Well, in this case, the microformer came first, okay?
Yeah, so maybe it was... I'm going to say the sea shanty one was probably our first, and then it was the Broadway one after that. It was the time when sea shanties were becoming a big thing.
Yes, they were all over TikTok. So when you help me with workouts, what goes through your head? And do you have any reservations about being the example person?
Ugh, the puns.
Oh, come on.
They're great and cringy in the best way possible. I don't really have any reservations about being the example. Mostly because since I have you telling me what to do, it's like fine somehow. I don't know why, but I think it's mostly, I think at first I was a little nervous about being able to handle the work because in my head, at least when I started, I was like, oh, I have to be here at my peak or whatever. And hopefully I can do a good job and match and match and match. And then now I'm just like, you know, if I take a short break, it's not the end of the world. If I decide to do the lowest setting in difficulty, I think that's fine.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people appreciate seeing that.
Yeah, it's, I appreciate myself for doing that. So I definitely feel better about it. My body thanks me for it. So I think in the beginning, I think that was what I was nervous about, is being, knowing if I had that much energy for it. And I do worry sometimes if I'll be able to match, like, energy-wise and, like, being able to have fun and banter back and have jokes. And I also now kind of just take that in stride. Like, maybe it's more physical humor because that's all I can mentally manage right now as opposed to verbal humor.
Yeah. And, like, I think we're also flexible, too, because, like, if you're like, hey, I'm not feeling it, we push it to another day.
Yeah, that, too. So that starts... It's definitely gotten easier. Like, I don't have as many, like... Nothing really makes me as anxious about it anymore.
And you get really into character too. So like, I know that like pushes you like to another level.
It helps. The character sometimes helps depending on how comfortable I am being that character.
Yeah. And we'll touch on that more in just a moment. So do you like helping me film workouts or do you just do it because you love me?
Neither.
Well, fuck you.
I do enjoy the workouts, filming the workouts, because again, it's a little bit of that performance feedback that I think is super fun, even though it's just with you. At least you laughing at me gives me that, like, yeah, I'm funny. So, but and I do love you.
Oh, thank you. That was touching.
But I think it's, I actually was like, oh, I have a workout with Sissy next Monday, and I was like, oh wait, no, I don't have one. Never mind. So, but I do like doing them just because I have, and I mean, I like doing when not just filming, but doing your workouts too, because I don't know how people like our sister just go to the gym and be like, yeah, this is what I'm working on. And I'm like, I'd probably just be standing there, like looking at everything going, well, I can't decide. I'll just go back on the treadmill. I don't know what to do. Maybe I'll do something with these weights and then never touch them again. So it's nice having somebody tell me what to do, because I don't know what to do.
I mean, in all fairness to our sister, she did tell me this week that she misses the themed workouts because she's bored with her workouts. So she's not all that.
Yeah, the themes help too. They definitely motivate.
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree. I enjoy teaching themes more than I do just like a regular class. I'm like, oh, I like you. Like, I like having that performance aspect. Well, you have two infamous workouts, the Black Widow and the Witcher workouts. For those who haven't taken either, in Black Widow, Becca takes on the persona of Red Guardian for the entire 40-minute workout. Then in The Witcher, she took it upon herself to rewrite, toss a coin to your Witcher a la Weird Al style. So can you tell everyone about your labor of love rewriting the Witcher song, and also about being Black Guardian, Red Guardian?
So I don't know how I got to the idea of toss a coin to your Witcher parody. I think maybe it brought up after one day we did a workout and I was like, oh, toss a coin to your trainer. Or maybe you had said something and I was like, oh, I can write a parody to that. And I think you had only thought it was going to be the one, like, chorus section.
I thought it was going to be the chorus.
Yeah, the chorus section. But I was in college at the time and was avoiding my college responsibilities and was like, let's just rewrite the whole thing. I also didn't realize that, like, I thought my goal was to rewrite the whole thing. I didn't realize that that was just a me goal. Like, I was the only one in the know on this.
Yeah, that was 100% you. You came to me and were like, I rewrote the whole song. I was like, oh, shit. What?
Yeah. I didn't memorize it, but I rewrote the whole thing. Like, I think I even told my fiance, he's like, you rewrote the whole thing? And I was like, yeah. I was pretty good. I was proud of myself. Like, I had rhyming dictionaries out. I was, like, going back and forth. I was reading it aloud. I was like, no, that's not right. I was like, oh, that's too many syllables. I was like, and trying to figure out the story behind what the toss a coin to your trainer is going to be, which is just a workout. And I was like, she can use it as an advertisement song. Go subscribe to your trainer. And so I don't know. I think it was just college avoidance that really motivated me to write this song.
I think we need to re-record the song so that I can use it in advertising, because it's with my old microphone too, and I don't like that version of that microphone.
Yeah, we'll plan on that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But for those who haven't heard it, it's at the very end of the Witcher workout. So we make you do the workout and then Becca entertains you. Well, she entertains you through the whole workout.
But yeah, I didn't realize I was infamous for the Witcher workout too. I thought it was just the Black Widow one.
They come pretty close together. And I think it's because I always tell people, like, oh, if you liked Black Widow and the blooper reel that's at the end of Black Widow, you should go check out the Witcher workout. And so I use it as a marketing technique of, hey, if you liked this, go over here.
Yeah, I was wondering why I was so exhausted at the end of Red Guardian, because I didn't realize it was 40 minutes.
So I have to call you out on it a little bit, because when Black Widow came out and I wanted to do a Black Widow workout, I asked Becca to come help me. And I don't really know why I asked you to come help me.
Because you're like, oh, Red Guardian, Russian accent, you can do that.
Oh, I did do that. Okay.
That was the main point. You're like, Russian? Russian.
So you had not seen the movie at that point. And I wrote the whole thing, wrote the whole workout. I showed you a clip of Red Guardian, like two or three clips right here in this office. And you went, got it. And we started rolling. And the first like 10 minutes is you just
riffing on Captain America or whatever, or something.
Yeah. And so like, it's not all of it is in the final cut, but there are bits that went to the blooper reel version of the workout. But you kept your accent for a whole 40 minutes.
Yeah, I haven't rewatched it all the way through since that workout's come out, because I watch it and I'm just like, I do not shut up. I keep talking and I'm like, oh my God, stop talking. Just work out.
But you were working out, but you just kept talking.
Yeah, I know. I'm surprised I had breath. Like, I don't even remember half the stuff I said. I remember feeling exhausted afterwards. You're like, that was 40 minutes. And I was like, I thought you said it was 25.
It was supposed to be 30, but you kept like
talking.
You just kept talking and I couldn't like quite like cut in. It's like, time? No, you're still going.
Sorry, guys. I have to do that workout. You got 10 extra minutes.
It's great. It's great.
It's, again, that's why I like Russian's like my easy go-to accent, because I can get into a character super easily with accent for some reason.
It's definitely one of your best characters for sure.
Yeah, I don't know how I'll ever work that hard again, because I was pretty strong throughout the whole thing too.
I was shocked. Yeah, I don't know how you, because even when I was editing, I was like, I don't know how you did this.
Yeah, I don't know how either. It's one of those rare moments.
But I think it is like one of our like top like watched workouts too, still.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that and I was like, oh boy, I'm so sorry.
Don't be sorry. It's gold. It really is gold. And we can never recreate it.
No.
So the time has come for the burning question from Valkyrie Squad. How did I convince you to be our mind-stealing voice? And I know you and I have a story to tell on this one.
So I know that at the time that Valkyrie Squad was being born, like, I was kind of busy. I was graduating. I had an internship that was ending. I was starting a summer job at Shakespeare Theater. And so at the time, I know that you would come up to me talking to me about mind-stealing, and I was like, well, I don't have time. So you're like, okay, how about you just proofread it? Because I remember I got attached to that part in the book with Gwyn. I even like bookmarked the audio in the audiobook in case I wanted to go back, because I liked that part. So you're like, okay, can you help proofread it? And I was like, yeah, I'll proofread it. I'll do some editing. And then you're like, yeah, I'll record it. You would record it yourself. And then I can't remember at what point you came back to me and you're like, I can't do this. I don't have a soothing voice.
Well, and you also, because you were part of the original three that were testing the program. So you guys got the first look of the formatting and like the first week that I had fully completed, which included the mind stealing. And it was terrible. I hated it so much.
Yeah, you're like, I don't have a soothing voice. I remember going to my fiance at the time, like, oh yeah, she tried recording a mind stealing and she doesn't have a soothing voice. He's like, well, yeah. It'd be like, breathe, breathe. Are you breathing? You're not breathing deep enough. Breathe in and out. Relax.
Relax.
Why aren't you, just relax.
I mean, he's not wrong.
No, you've gotten better, but like.
I've grown. Your mind stilling has helped me.
You've grown. You sound kind of sad now, but you're like, are you okay? I'm like, are you okay? You're like, I can't win. But so I was like, you know what? I'll record it for you because I know how to do soothing voice. Yeah, I think that's how that started. I think I was only going to record the two because at the time, I didn't think we were going to do any more.
That's all I had planned.
Yeah, all you had planned. And so I was like, okay, this is the two. I still get a kick out of the idea of you doing mind stealing. Cracks me up.
thanks a lot, man. Yeah, because so how did you end up doing more?
So when you launched the program and we were getting feedback from people from how like helpful it was, I was like, oh, we should do, I was I remember because I was up late at night thinking about it because I was having...
As you normally do.
Yeah, but I was like particularly having trouble sleeping. And so I was like, oh, I should write more. And then I was like, I could do better. It's like, we can do an even better one. And so I was like, I should look up how to write them. And so, because I think at that point, I had started up my own practice again.
Because
I was dealing with a lot of anxieties at the time, and I needed to up my mind-stilling practice. So I was like, okay, like the ones that I listened to were very much like leave on your own breathing. There was no guidance to it. So I was looking up how to write guidance meditation scripts or examples of them. And I found one that had like a staircase. And when I read the staircase one, I was like, oh, this can be like the house of wind. And it can help like take the steps down to relaxation. So I started writing that. And then I went on because I think I found a mountain and a forest example. And I was like, oh, like the Ramiel, Mount Ramiel, and then the forest. I was like, well, I like autumn quartz. We'll make it autumn vibes because that's, I love it. So I started writing up those. And then I think the first one I was like, oh, like we'll start with a relaxation one. Cause I think the staircase one and the example that I had was also a relaxation one, but I changed it drastically cause I didn't like how they wrote it. But thank you to that website for inspiring me. So I wrote it for relaxation. I think Mount Ramiel was kind of for the same purpose, was relaxation and being easier on yourself. I think the first three that I wrote were all kind of like vague goals in mind, just general like calming.
Well, I think the one with the steps, so the House of Wind one, I think that was for anxiety. And I've forgotten the other ones because I use Autumn Court a lot. I love that one a lot.
Yeah. I think somebody mentioned how it looked like it or sounded like a New England autumn. And I was like, I've never experienced New England in autumn, but this is how I want it to be. But then after I think those initial ones, I was like, okay, so we'll go through the different courts. And then I kind of started to do a theme because there was one, which is the summer court one, which is like relationship with emotions. Because I had discovered that while I was actually taking the light rail to my university, I was having anxiety. Because at the time I was taking a voice acting class and I was getting really nervous because I had to do a monologue and monologues are like the death of me. So I was getting really anxious. And then all of a sudden I suddenly like had this weird, I'll say out-of-body experience where I like somehow popped in my head and I could see the shadow of the fear I was feeling. But when I turned around, it wasn't this big shadow of like anxiety. It ended up being this tiny little cat almost. And I kind of like in my head, like picked it up and like held it. And I suddenly started to feel calm again. So I was trying to, and I had a friend too who was talking about her depression. She's like, yeah, I call my depression Bob and we talk. And so I was like, okay, so I wanted to figure out how to do a mind stilling with that. And I think I had collaborated with you on that. And you're like, oh, how about summer court? So I wrote that for summer court. And then winter court, I made it like the uncertainty of where to go in life. Because I was kind of going seasonal too. I was like, oh, in winter, like everything's covered. You don't know what's beyond the surface, what's coming. It feels hopeless, like seasonal depression. So I was like, oh, so we'll do that for winter court. So it started to like pairing the courts with themes that I wanted to kind of explore and talk about. And I have like a whole Pinterest board of quotes that kind of inspire me. And I have music, a lot of anime and a particular video game that I draw inspiration from too, on like what to write and imagery and stuff like that. So, and my fiance's also been super helpful in like giving me exercise examples and talking me through like mindset stuff. So I was like, okay, this is really cool. So I started integrating more of that into all of this.
I like how it snowballed. I don't have time to do this. And then
I was like, I'll make time.
And then you started coming to me with more and more and more. And so, you know, people who are the producers on this podcast have no right to make fun of me when I pile more shit on my plate.
Well, like it started to bring back memories because I used to practice meditation in high school. I had a ceramics professor who like had us do meditation before class, and I found it very helpful. And I got into it with his class, and I remember I had a lot of different practices and techniques that were suddenly starting to resurface as I was writing all of these. And I was like, oh my God. So I was like, maybe I'll just share what's helpful for me and see if that's helpful for anybody else.
I think they have been extremely helpful for people.
Yes. And it's cool how some people like take the lessons and also put their own spin on it. Cause that's also like sometimes like cater it to themselves, which has been super cool too.
Yeah. So is it a cultivated sound for your voice? And is it something you practice to have soothing tones? Because I don't have that.
I came upon it really easily, I think, when, because I just imagined how Gwyn would sound in my head. And that's how she sounded, was like, I was like, oh, the sort of soft thing, but a little bit like nasally and up there kind of voice. I think sometimes I forget to do it in some of my mind stillings when I'm like sick. Or I'm getting out of a cold and I'm like, okay, record. But that was at least like my thought. Cause I was like, oh, I want to do these, my siblings. Like I'm Gwyn. Like that's who I am. So that's like the head that I approach with doing it. But I don't really practice it cause it just kind of comes naturally. I think it was just naturally in my repertoire of voices.
I know you started doing Valkyrie squad workouts. I think you're still doing them. So a few questions we ask all our guests. You've been there from the birth, but when did you start doing the Valkyrie workouts?
I think it was last summer.
Yeah, I think it was actually a year ago right now.
Yeah, about a year ago, I remember, because I was still working at the Shakespeare Theater, and I think I would either come home and do the workout. Somehow I managed to make time. Somehow I wasn't super exhausted yet to make time to actually do those workouts. And I was like, novice, I was like, this is easy. And when we get to the next one, I was like, oh, shit, this is hot. I was like, yeah, I'm feeling pretty good in novice. Yeah, I'm all right. Next one, I was like, oh, here's the blood, sweat, and tears now. Maybe we take a break and then we come back after a couple of days to do the next one.
That's fair. What do you enjoy about them?
I enjoy the book references and the way that the workouts are framed in the world, because then I can like sort of trick myself or convince myself into working out, because then I'll be like, oh, I gotta train for my Illyrian wings, which I'll never have, but maybe in another life. And I can like imagine myself going to war to Highburn, which is so great, or like fighting with Bat Boys, and I'm just like, yeah, this is awesome. That somehow gets me like hyped up. And I'm like, yeah, I'm trained to be a warrior. And then I'm just going into the shop and sewing. Now I'm going to battle on this dress. Like,
my needle is stuck.
And that has happened. I'm about to grab pliers. But like, I like how like the framing of it makes me feel like a badass that's like wheezing and collapsing on the ground. But like, a badass nonetheless, because I did it. And before you ask, yes, I would highly recommend Valkyrie Squad. Go grab your swords, everyone. Grab your armor and get ready.
Well, I'm glad you would recommend Valkyrie Squad. So on the last podcast episode was all about the Valkyrie Squad meetup and climbing the mountain. And you were actually there with us. And what was it like to attend the meetup?
I was super excited because, I mean, like, okay, I'll be honest. I was anxious because, like, all these people know who I am, but I don't know any of these people. So I don't know how to act. Like, that's the social anxiety aspect of it. It's like, do I act like I know you even though I don't? Or do I introduce myself like you don't know me even though I get introduced all the time? So that was, like, once I got past the initial introductory stage, which is always like my least favorite part of general social interactions anyways, I had a blast. It was great. It was awesome. It was cool. Like, I think the fun part about it, because I was telling my friend, I was like, we didn't just talk about the book, we were just kind of chatting. It was fun. Like, we went out dancing for like that salsa thing at food place or whatever.
Food place.
I don't know. I got food and then there was salsa dancing. That's all I cared about. And of course, like, we all took a sort of book field trip to the bookstore and like Like, it just kind of felt like a really fun, like, field trip with people that you like and not with the school that you, like,
forced to be around.
Yeah, forced to be around, like, people that you enjoy and share interests and share a journey with each other. I think the funniest thing that happened, quick background before I get to this story. So last summer at the Shakespeare Festival, I was working with an actor who was a narrator for one of the audiobooks that I was listening to at the time. I didn't realize it was him until much later in the season. And so I finally, like, got the courage to go up to him and say, like, oh my God, I love your voice. I listened to this book from you, blah, blah, blah. And so when I went to the Valkyrie meetup, someone came up to me and was talking about, and I feel bad because I'm blanking on her name, but I know Mia, you know who it is. And I'm so sorry. I can't remember because I'm panicking.
Liana.
Liana, thank you. I was like, what is the name? But she came up to me and I remember she's like, oh, you're Becca of, like, the Mind Stilling. And I was like, yeah, I am. She's like, I recognize your voice. And I was like, oh, I didn't think people would, like, easily recognize it because I know I change it a little bit, but I also sound like, sometimes I sound like you, sis, or sound like Lena. And she's like, yeah, no, like, I just, like, it was like my body recognized it or something along those lines. She's like, just listening to your Mind Stillings, I'm like, it's like it conditioned me to calm down. And when I heard your voice, I just calmed down. I was like, that is so interesting. I was like, wow, that is, that's so interesting. And I kind of was like, oh, and I was like, that must be how that actor felt. I was talking to him earlier. So that was kind of cool, interesting to be in his shoes. But I was like, huh, I didn't realize my voice had that effect on people. That's cool. But yeah, that was an awesome trip. I want to go back and I want to meet everybody again. That was super fun.
Yes, it was. And then you climbed the mountain, and how did that go for you?
So I should have paced myself, but that's the Becca issue that goes across not just fitness, but just everything in life. And I start off gung-ho at the beginning, and then I burn myself out, and then I cry. So I started, like, sort of the front group at the beginning, and then I started more, like, and then I ended sort of end front group, mid front group. I started going, I was just focusing on my breathing, and then I started feeling myself not feeling so great, and I was like, maybe I just need to keep breathing.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, that's always a good idea. I think my mind kind of started to wander and panic because I wasn't feeling well, so I started, like, humming a song that I actually have tattooed on my arm. That's from a video game.
What's the phrase?
C'est pour cela que je suis né, which means I was born for this. The song is called I Was Born for This. And it's from the game called Journey, and you're taking this journey up to a mountain. So that, and you're doing it with a buddy, and you guys, like, an actual other person that you're playing with, but you don't speak to them. You kind of just do these cute little chirps. It's a really fun game. Highly recommend. But I was singing that song because that helps me sort of, like, motivates me to know, like, no matter where I end up on this journey, I was born for it, no matter what. And so that I always find really inspiring. And then what was also, like, super inspiring about the climb up the mountain was even as people started to break off into smaller groups because they needed more breaks just for what their body needed, that everyone just sort of naturally, like, partnered up or gathered together and supported each other, which was, it was just absolutely amazing. I thought all that support was, the thinking about that, like, made me cry. Because then, like, I started to climb up the mountain with a friend, Julie, and she and I were kind of at the same pace because I had nearly thrown up at, like, the halfway point, and I was like, I'm not throwing up here, but I just breathed. There wasn't a really good, like, hiding place for me to just, like, puke, and so I was like, okay, we're just going to kind of heave a little bit and breathe, drink some water, have a granola, whatever the snacks that Mia and Liana brought. Thank you. And somebody else brought snacks too.
A lot of people brought snacks.
Yeah, a lot of people brought snacks. So they had, I started sobbing at one point because luckily I was in front of Julie, so Julie couldn't see my tears. But I was thinking about this episode of, like, one of the last few episodes of Fruit Basket. Like, all these kids in the show have gone through this emotional journey. And the last episode, like one of the mom characters, she's like, "You fought well." And I'm just like, "Yeah, we did. We did through a lot and we did well. Okay." Like, we're doing it. It was a long, hard journey. And I'm proud of myself for making it up there. And next time I would go slower. Like, is the advice I give myself.
I am incredibly proud of you because you, out of the three of us, you and I are the least outdoorsy people.
I thought you were going to point at me and saying I'm the least athletic. I was like, I know. Call me out on it.
I mean, you're the least outdoorsy of us. And yeah, you have more of the social anxiety than the fact that you put yourself into such a big group. And climbed a mountain. I was so incredibly proud of you. Because, like, Alina does this, like, in her sleep. Like,
yeah, she was chilling.
Alina was just chilling. Like, she was, like, she climbed fucking Mount Shasta. And I was like, this is going to be a walk in the park for you, literally.
Yeah, I love Lena giving people advice.
You'll do this. She's worse than me. You've got this.
It's like, oh, you'll be fine, you know?
Yeah, as she's flexing at you. Terrible, but like she does this all the time, so it's so natural to her. Like, I wasn't worried about her at all.
Yeah, like she was fine. Like, I thought I would, yeah, I just, again, I think I pushed myself too hard because I was trying to keep up with you and Lena and everyone else in the front group, and I was like, nope.
And that's fine. You made it up, and yeah, you put yourself in so many zones that you're not comfortable in, and
yeah,
yeah. Thanks for reminding me, sis.
A lot of mental preparation for the introvert. Like I said, I'm flamboyant, but I'm very reserved at the same time. It's a very weird contradiction.
Well, I am very proud of you.
I'm proud of me, too.
So for our last chapter of this interview, before the epilogue, do you have a mind-stilling space or a specific location you practice?
Yeah, for some reason, I chose my mind-stilling nest to be at the foot of my bed. Like, I try and avoid the bed because I'm like, oh, I'll just go to sleep. So I'm like, oh, I'll set it up on the floor for some reason because I could sit cross-legged. I have, like, my back pillow that I have, or the inclined pillow that I'll usually sit on, or sit back against, I mean. And then, like, I chose my room because it's the quiet space when my fiance's. It's also kind of the only space that's isolated that I could do this in for myself. But also, like, my room's my relaxing place. So, and then sometimes I'll set up, like, a blanket, obviously, if it's cold. Or I'll have, like, a pillow that I'll hug in my lap if I'm feeling, like, fidgety and I just kind of need something to, like, hold and ground. That just helps. Or, like, I have my dragon, Winston, that I'll stick in the microwave because his butt warms up. And I'll put him there as a comfort, too. So, yeah, my ideal space would be, like, a window seat. But that's a lot to ask for.
Yes, in your apartment, it's a lot to ask for.
Yeah, it's a lot to ask for. But maybe in the future, I'll have a window seat that I can do my mind-stilling at.
Yes. Do you have any tips for people who want to create a mind-stilling space?
Get a place that has a window seat.
Okay, selling place.
Yeah, find a place with a window seat. No, I always, like, the place that you gravitate towards that is your comfort space. Like for me, it's the bedroom. Sometimes it'll be the couch, but more often it's the bedroom. I put this in there, like, for readers, it might be your favorite place to read because you kind of made that your comfort garden or whatever. So, like, I always, like, I'd say, like, gardens are also really nice. Like, if you have, like, a really nice backyard, if it's warm, is a good place. But any place that you find comfort in is where I would go. The bed is also a good space. I usually try to avoid it for myself so I don't fall asleep, but usually if you're falling asleep during mind stilling, it kind of means that maybe you need more sleep. Because I've certainly done that. I'll like lay down all mind still and I'm like, yeah, I need to sleep. No, I get spied. So, like, I'm a bird, so I like creating a nest for myself wherever I am.
Oh, and that's why you need the window seat. You need a perch.
Yeah, and that's also the reason why, like, the excess of blankets is really nice.
Like, do you collect shiny things, too?
More blankets than shiny things.
Do you need shiny blankets?
Those don't sound comfortable.
There's some that are comfortable.
I'm sure. But that would be my advice. Finding a place that you find comfort. Possibly more isolated if you can help it. I know some living spaces, it's hard, especially in like apartment spaces. But my L-shaped couch has always got the corner that's got all the pillows and blankets stuffed.
I know. That's Mark's corner. Yeah.
That's my reading nest.
Yeah. I don't get that corner. I get the other corner.
Yeah.
That doesn't have the L.
No, but it's a good corner.
It is a good corner. Well, this week's piece of Cauldron Blessed Wisdom is from Becca. So take it away for us.
Okay. So as your mind stilling guide, your Cauldron Blessed Wisdom this week are pro tips to help you achieve your stillest mind. I recommend practicing lightly. And what I mean by that is to try not to be so hard on yourself and trying to get yourself into that ideal mind-stilling state. Just sit, lightly adjust, and slowly sink into the comfort. A few tips for how best to drop into your mind-stilling practice is go in with low or no expectations for yourself. Just like anything, mind-stilling is a skill you build. You're not going to sit still or be able to focus the first time or even every time you practice, because your practice will naturally fluctuate. Like when you work out, gauge where you're at. Maybe you need to stop early today. Maybe you can go longer. Or maybe you need to do it multiple times in the day. Be curious about your practice. Discover how you work best in this space for yourself that is meant to ground you. For beginners, I recommend practicing before bed since you're already starting to wind down for the day, just to get you started. And then again, you can check in with yourself and see when you can start implementing it in different parts of your life. Important things to keep in mind whenever you decide to still your mind. Try not to go in with a goal. It just adds pressure and expectation to a practice where you just let yourself be who you are in the moment. And when in doubt, just focus on the breath. You can't go wrong with focusing on your breathing. Your action item this week is to find items that you can bring into your mind-stilling space that will help bring you comfort. Like I've mentioned, a candle or a pillow or a blanket. Something that you can associate with the practice and can help you along in that journey. So take these tips, practice mind-stilling on your own. And you can use any of the Valkyrie Squad mind-stilling audios or the pocket stillings from the Sword and Ribbon podcast episodes.
I love how you just dropped into your mind-stilling voice, like, immediately. like boom.
I can't do it in my regular voice. It has to be in that voice.
It was just like a full 180, and I loved it, and It was gold.
It's the only way I could do it. It's like when I was writing the May the Fourth one. I was having trouble writing because I was trying to do it in the mind-stilling voice, and I was like, I can't do it. So I had to get in the Han Solo voice, and I had to lean on one chair and write it. It's like, all right, kid, listen up. It's literally how I started it when I wrote it, and then I got rid of it.
Oh my god! So if anyone wants to listen to that one. That was one of our bonus mind-stilling episodes that aired on May the 4th. Go listen to it. Becca did a beautiful rewrite of Star Wars and mind-stilling. Well, kid, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. It's been fucking fabulous, and I know everyone is going to be excited to hear from you.
Elder, it was a pleasure to be here.
Remember to tell your sister, your parent, your mate, your inner circle, and yourself to be strong, kick ass, and be fucking magical every day.
This episode was produced by Bex Castro, Mia Garlock, and Carolyn McMorrin.
And a special thanks to Becca Rogers for coming on today's podcast episode. You can connect with her at Beckerdoodles, which is spelt at B3CKERDOODLES for her art and personal, and Becca Sews, it's SEWS for her sewing.
Special thank you to Taylor Ash for creating the music of this podcast. And thanks for listening to The Sword and the Ribbon by the Micro Squad. If you're interested in learning more about the Valkyrie Squad, visit us at thevalkyriesquad.com. If you're interested in learning more about the Micro Squad or Geek Gym for a class, visit us at themicrosquad.com. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcasts from so you don't miss out. And if you like this week's episode, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.